I have to say, it is a lot of fun whenever I do this and I go off the bulletin just a little bit. How many of you look up? Like, oh my gosh, what happened? Hey, you know, I know what it says. I'm just deciding to add a few more things to it. It's okay. Don't worry. It's all good. I got this. So today, folks, we have a great, awesome gift. The gift of our annual faith statements by our confirmands. And so at this time, I encourage you to prepare your hearts for hearing words from three incredibly gifted, talented, and faithful young people, Sophie Garner, Alex Turrell, and Connor Lothrop. I invite you forward to share your faith statements with us.
Hello, my name is Sophie Garner. I am a 10th grader at Sherando High School. My parents are Beth and Sean Garner, and my mentor is Pete Milam. And this is my faith statement. The last time I was standing up at this pulpit, I was delivering a speech after coming back from my mission trip to Guatemala. My speech centered around the idea that art is bilingual. And I had no idea the extent to which that would apply to my life afterwards. Art is bilingual without a language barrier, and it can be used to communicate with people that you can speak to normally. Art is bilingual, and we are all fluent in the language. There are three pillars of my faith that I have discovered through art. The first, I serve through art. During our mission trip to Guatemala, we drew on kids' arms, little doodles or octopi, and we really seemed to connect to the kids that way. And when we came back, my friend Peyton and I drew during one of the services. The second pillar is I see God through art. If you notice during the sermons, during church services, I may be doodling in the margins of the bulletins, just maybe little eyes or something that I see in the church that catches my eye. I've drawn a picture of the baptismal font. I've drawn this cross symbol behind me. Just little things, you know? And I encourage you when you leave after the service to go to the left hallway back there. There's a picture of Jesus, and he's made of just words combined together to create shading and all that. And it conveys a message more than just the words that the picture is made out of. And I encourage you to look at it and, you know, see what you find in the picture made of the words, but a piece of art. I speak through art. During vacation Bible school, there were certain stations that the kids would rotate through, storytelling, sports, and one of them was arts and crafts. And they seemed to really enjoy it. It was probably their favorite station. And whenever you asked them the next day what they had learned the previous day, they'd say whatever the message was, whether it be compassion or love, and then they'd somehow mention the crafts. And it seemed to really connect to the kids in ways that the other stations, while they may have been important, really didn't drive that point as much. I'd like to share a Bible verse with you, Exodus 35:35. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, by any sort of workmen or skilled designers. God creates people for the purpose of sharing art and using it as a tool for others. And I don't want to, you know, be on a high horse and say that that's my goal in life, but I certainly feel drawn towards that, and I think that's a very important part of my faith, is using art to communicate with God and for God. I'd like to thank everyone who got me to this point, my parents, Pete Milam, Pastor Dave, Brian Jaster, Connor and Alex, and my whole Bethel family and everyone here. And as you leave and go to your daily lives, I'd like you to look around as you go through life and realize how much art may play into your life and the church. Thank you.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Alex Turrell. I'm a sophomore at Millbrook High School. My parents are Eric and Donna Turrell, and my mentor is Trevor Brazelton. Trevor, I've really enjoyed our ping pong matches, and thank you for being my mentor. I would like to thank my parents for helping me with my faith and for driving me to confirmation meetings. I'd also like to thank my grandparents for always supporting me in everything I do and for being here today. I'd especially like to thank my mamaw and papaw for being a great influence on me of God's work by spreading God's word to the inmates in a jail in West Virginia. And now here's my faith statement. A little while ago in Sunday school, we were making memes. And at that time, there was one meme that was kind of big called Salt Guy. I don't know if you all know who Salt Guy is, but he's a chef that when he's done cooking, he sprinkles salt onto the food. So people would take a picture of him sprinkling the salt and put words where the salt is. When we were making our memes, we had a list of Bible verses that we could choose from. And one of them was Matthew 5:14, which says, "You are the light of the world, and a town built on a hill cannot be hidden." I didn't think much about the words in this, but I did use it for my meme. And after that, I read more about Matthew 5. In Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." It would have made a lot more sense if I would have used this, but it wasn't one we could pick. I've thought about the words from both Matthew 5:13 and 14 some, about what they mean. It's saying that God put us here on a hill to show our faith for him, to speak his word, and not to keep him a secret. By saying that we are the salt, and that if we are unsalty, we should be thrown out, this means that we're supposed to do something here, and that's to let our faith shine. And if we are not doing that, then we're not doing our job. I feel like I need to let my faith show a little better. I feel like I'm an outgoing guy. In lacrosse, I play attack, so I'm only on offense. And when the ball's on the other side of the field, I usually talk to the defense on the other team that is back there with me. I don't really know what we talk about. It just gets kind of boring sometimes waiting for the ball to come back, so I'll just talk to them about whatever. The only bad part about that is if they get the ball, I don't want to hit them too hard because I was just being nice with them, but I have to get the ball back. Another bad thing about talking too much is in class. I don't get my seat moved too much anymore, but I still do. I still find God in that, though, because when I get my seat changed, that's just God's way of letting me make new friends. I think an outgoing personality like this can show faith because if I start talking to someone, I could talk to them about God if it comes up. One way I have done this is by helping out at VBS. At VBS, I was one of the group leaders, and in my group, there was a guy and a girl who were really fun to be with, but sometimes they did get a little too crazy. When they were really crazy like this, it felt like an act of God to make them so calm. When they would calm down, they were really fun. On the last day, I was in a different group, and at the end of when the kids and leaders sang for the parents, the little girl was sitting in my lap the whole time, and it was really cute. VBS was an easy place to practice and share my faith. Church has always just been something I do. I would get up on Sundays, go to church, lip sync the words to the songs, and I never really understand what we were doing. During confirmation, I started to realize what we do. At youth events like confirmation camp, it was all a bunch of kids just like me, although I was the oldest one there. But we were all going through confirmation together. We all made friends there too, because we were all together for the same reason, God put us there. My favorite part about confirmation camp was reading the book of Matthew. I liked this because I saw a side of Jesus that I didn't really know about. It really showed that he was human too, like when he flips the tax collector's table because he's mad at them. After going through confirmation, I see why we do the readings like this in church or why we pay attention during the sermon. It's because we can see how Jesus is like us too, because if he's like us, then we can spread God's word like him. And now I see why I'm a Christian. Thank you.
Amen. I'm not happy about having to follow those two. Hi, my name is Connor Lothrop. I'm a sophomore at Sherando High School. My parents are Stephanie Mahan and Bruce Lothrop, and my mentor was Sean Garner. I'd like to thank everyone who got me here. My parents, for being so supportive of me and getting me to every confirmation class possible, even with tight schedules. For Sophie and Alex, who made this an incredible journey filled with laughter and yellow powder. And Bethel's own, Pastor Dave and Brian, wherever Brian is right there, for just helping me connect so much with God. And most of all, my wonderful mentor, Sean, who we weren't always focused when we were meeting, but when we were, we got stuff done. I'd like to start with a verse from Proverbs. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. This verse from Proverbs would be any good scientist's favorite Bible verse. It is the essence of science as we know it today. Not accepting something until it is fully proven and backed up with cold hard facts is the basis of modern science. As a Christian, that last sentence has an added clause that we need to think of: faith. Faith is believing in sometimes the absence of cold hard facts. So the two, science and faith, especially when it comes to religion, can seem kind of opposed. And I've been struggling with that for a long time now. Faith isn't always having all the answers. Faith is about being open to possibilities. Faith is about listening to your doubts, but not letting them dominate your thoughts, instead letting them create good conversation that can get around those doubts. I still wrestle with my faith a lot. I don't have answers. Only three people do have answers, and that's the Holy Trinity. But that doesn't mean I lose faith. I would never lose faith. God is nothing without faith, and I can't lose faith in him. At possibly the very height of this struggle, I was in the car with my dad one day after confirmation, and we began to have a conversation. I'd been trying to talk to him about my doubts for a while, and I finally came up with the courage to tell him about it. He told me he'd been through a similar crisis, but his process, what he decided was to stick with his faith and see where it led him. It led him to Africa. It led him to Guatemala. It led him to this very pulpit, and it led him far beyond. So I decided to give this a try for myself. It worked. It led me right here to where I'm standing today. When I started this confirmation process, I couldn't promise myself I'd finish it. I had too many doubts. But right now, I know I made the exact right choice in following my faith to this very pulpit today. Today, for the most part, I'm at peace with my faith. I can accept the coexistence of science and God as I go through a STEM-focused governor's school and finish my confirmation at the same time. I have that conversation with my father and many, many others to thank for this. I am at peace with my faith, even though I do not have all the answers, and I can live with that. Faith is trust, and I have chosen to trust. Ladies and gentlemen, will you pray with me? Dearest Father, we thank you for all of your mighty deeds and for the gifts of all of these people present today. We thank you for the opportunity for all of us to gather in your good and holy name to make better people of us all. In your heavenly name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I have referred to these three as the AP confirmation class, and I think you can see why. Amazing people, Alex and Sophie and Connor. They're thoughtful, they're real, they're fun, they love and care about each other. And I told them the other night as we gathered at our gathering at the confirmation banquet that I look forward to being led by them in our future. We will be a blessed future in the next 500 years of the Lutheran brand of Christianity if we have people like Alex and Sophie and Connor leading our congregations and witnessing to the faith. So join me again in thanking these three incredibly talented young people. And just so you know, you're the first three to ever be Facebook Live from Bethel for your, so it's out there forever now. So wonderful. You guys can be seated, and thank you for all you are, but especially for who you are. And now it's my turn. Connor, you said it was tough to follow Sophie and Alex. Well, it's even tougher for me to have to follow you three. So one of the things I'm going to do is not necessarily fully follow you, but Martin Luther is. Martin Luther is going to follow you because he's going to talk about some of the things you talked about. Now, Sophie, you just talked about art and the way that God is in the midst of art. Well, let me tell you something that Martin Luther once said. You ready? Ready? Next to the Word of God, the noble art of music. Woo-hoo! Is the greatest treasure in the world. Martin Luther honored what you said. That art, in all of its forms, I think he would indeed certainly say not just music, but also the other arts, become a way that God comes into our world in a very real way. Alex. This is fantastic. It might be one of my favorite Luther quotes. You are a vibrant person and a vibrant personality. And I love the way you even love your enemies on the lacrosse field. That's outstanding. I love that. And so your spirit of joy, which we've talked about, that brings us, this reminds me of you. Martin Luther said this. Who loves not woman, wine, and song remains a fool his whole life long. You are no fool, Alex Turrell. Because you are a one who loves this world and loves this life and embraces the good and the joy. Because really what that text is about is joy that Jesus calls us to. Alex, you are joyous. And you bring that to us. Thank you. Connor, I love what you said. I will continue to trust. And you know what, brother? That's something all of us can hear. There's a reason that your classmates, Sophie and Alex and others, call you Bishop. Bishop Connor. Because Luther said this, Connor, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain that a person could stake their life on it 1,000 times. What says trust more than that, brother? A daring confidence and trust in God's grace. Luther also said, everything that is done in the world is done by hope. By hope. So our three young people today have 500 years later embodied our Lutheran heritage. They have embodied that in the words that they've shared, that they have been taught from their families, through their families, and through this church. The Lutheran ideal of the priesthood of all believers is made real this day when three of our young people share with you a message that encapsulates in so many ways the totality of what we have been about for 500 years. Luther said, on that day, many years ago, I cannot and I will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other, so help me God.
Here I stand with you, Sophie, and Alex, and Connor. Here we stand together on the words of John today, where Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Luther had these words: "Peace, if possible, truth at all costs." Because it is truth, and the truth of the God who has come near in our lives, in our world, in Jesus Christ, the truth that we proclaim that does what? It sets us free. Fully and completely to love our neighbor as ourselves. To not be claimed and named or defined by all of those definitions and all of those words that people would put upon you in your life or upon you in your living. You are free to be claimed simply by your baptismal name. And by the promise that Jesus has given you, you have been made free, Sophie, to write on your hand and find God. You have been set free, Alex, to love the other defender who you have to talk to in the middle of a game, and to love them and find joy in relationship with all of the people who are part of your life. You are free, Connor, to question and to wonder and to struggle with the faith. Why? Because you have been named child of God. You have been met by the God who has come near. And if Jesus and if Luther's teaching for us is about anything, it is not about what we must do to get close to God. It is what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do in our lives and in the work of the world. Luther said, "All who call on God will be heard and will receive what they have asked for and desired. It may not look exactly like we ask nor desire, but we have a God who will hear you, who is not aloof from your pain and your struggle and your hurts, but a God who will not only hear you, but who will also come near you. So let us live into the trust and the promise and the hope of God that has been given to us today by Sophie and Alex and Connor and Luther. That ours is a God in Christ who does not abandon and who does not look down on us from a distance, but a God who has come near, and a God who continues to come near, and a God who lives with us in each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, let us sing the song that we must, but that we joyously delight in singing, our Lutheran fight song, A Mighty Fortress. Let us stand.